everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Crime and Coffee Couple. My name's Allison.
And my name's Mike.
And it's good to have you here, Mike.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that. It's good to have you here and everywhere that I can have you.
Thank you. Nice thing. Yeah. And it's good to have all of you back. Thank you for coming back for another episode.
Yep, absolutely. We had, like we mentioned, I think we mentioned, we have over 10,000 downloads cumulatively.
That's a mouthful.
It sure is. And yeah, thanks for everybody out there. If you're listening right now, you're one of those 10,000 plus. I think we're up to like 11,000 or something now. So
yeah, it's awesome.
Not even keeping track. But yeah, thanks for listening to us. And if you want to follow us on like Instagram and Twitter, we're Crime and Coffee 2, Crime and Coffee number 2. Should be coming out with TikTok very soon. I'll let you know. It'll be in the show notes once that's live. So I canceled like my account or our daughter's account so that I could like have our own account and then like start fresh. And it takes like 30 days to actually delete an account.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I'm kind of waiting on that timeline.
I, again, know nothing about TikTok, but I did hear on the news that they're expanding the videos to be up to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So what they are now, I don't have a clue.
I think three.
3 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
that's a big expansion.
It is. Yeah, pretty big. Pretty big. So we'll see. I don't even know how we're going to do it, but we'll see. And it could be really cool. It could be terrible. I don't know. So hang out with us and we'll see. So yeah, thanks for all the support. And we have a few people that reached out to us. Caitlin found us on Audible. She was actually put a comment on YouTube. So,
oh, that's nice.
Audible's through Amazon, which is kind of cool. I didn't even know you could do that. They must have suggested us. I don't know how that worked. We didn't pay them. So Talia, who actually reached out to us, she goes to Penn State. So she was listening to the Betsy Ardsma case. Definitely listen to that if you're interested. That's an interesting
one. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So she said, hey, great job. And gave us some insight there and that case and some other suggestions. And then Sheila, who I mentioned last week, she was the Sheila's been our longtime listener since December, so she was nice note. Thanks, Sheila. And Colleen, who I mentioned last week for her Chihuahua JJ that she had to put down, she suggested that we put together a Patreon to see if we can, you know, get some money and, you know, start some money flowing, because it costs us, yeah, 20, 25 bucks. We got a new camera, so, you know, that's we didn't spend a whole lot, about 150 bucks.
Yeah, which, El Cheapo here, well, certainly wouldn't open his pocketbook too wide.
150 is not, like, cheap, but it's cheap when it comes to these damn things.
No, it is. And I appreciate your frugality. So I joke about here. It,
right?
But I appreciate it.
We're going to start here. I mean, the instructions were like very, very broken English, so we'll see how it goes. I don't even know if it's going to work here, so.
We'll see.
Yeah, but no, thanks everybody for kind of reaching out.
Yeah, we really do appreciate it.
For
more
sure.
Than you even know.
Yeah, and now that I have this new video, I see how fat I look. Like, look at this stomach here. This is just like just sitting here. And I lost like 20 pounds in the last 6 months. And I'm like, oh, this thing's still sitting there.
Oh, you know, my gosh.
Like, I feel pretty good about myself. And then I see the video and, hey, you know what? I am who I am.
It's a reality check, you know? And you know what? We can always improve ourselves.
Absolutely.
But I think that you're handsome just the way you are.
That's very kind.
As long as you're healthy and happy, that's all that matters to me.
I'm happy. I wouldn't say healthy. You know, we can probably, you know, get a little bit less.
Well,
of this.
The good news is there's stuff you can do about that.
That's true. Eat less, mostly.
Eat less, move more.
Yeah, I mean, I'm working out pretty decently, but I could always do more.
You are. You're doing a great job, and you're moving in the right direction. That's what matters.
Thanks. Just moving at all, whatever direction.
Exactly.
Right? How's your week going?
It's going pretty good. I did want to mention, because we failed to mention it last week, about what's happening over in Ukraine, and I wanted to make sure that we weren't glossing over it and seeming ungrateful that we're sitting here.
Or not even knowing that it's happening.
Yeah, kind of thing, exactly. Yeah. Because trust me, our hearts are absolutely broken by what's happening over there. And I can't even imagine, you know, the devastation and what these families are going through and leaving their homes and not knowing what to expect, breaking up families. It's horrifying. It's more than I can wrap my head around. And I don't for one second take for granted that we live in this privileged life.
Yeah, we can say have complaints about America, but things are pretty decent over here, compared to a lot of places, not just Ukraine, but, you know, Middle East. And, you know, there's tons of poor people all over Asia and everywhere. There's poor people everywhere that are even in worse situations than us. So yeah, no, definitely. And actually, it kind of it rings true to my heart, because my family, half my family's from Lithuania originally. My mom was actually born in Europe, and all my, you know, granddad, grandmother and stuff.
You still have an uncle over there.
Yeah, still have
cousins.
An uncle. They had to leave him there because they were fleeing the Russians, just like Ukraine, where people fleeing the Russians. I think over 500,000 people are leaving Ukraine to get away from the Russian invasion. My family had to leave Lithuania and migrate over to Germany, where my mom was born. Like, while my grandma was pregnant, she was fleeing the Russians in Lithuania, like,
and
crazy.
She had to leave her baby.
Yeah, she had to leave one of her kids, and she, you know, she left the oldest one. And, you know, that's crazy stuff. And people are having to do this all over Ukraine. So I definitely, you know, feel for you for sure.
I used to look, when you told me that story, I looked at your grandma in a different way because I can't imagine what she had to go through to make that decision.
Yeah. And it's crazy. And this is going on every day in Ukraine right now. And that's, I can't believe it's 2022 and this is like so stupid. Yeah. Like war is
it's the awful.
Worst. Yeah. Never good. So, I also noticed that, I noticed on Reddit yesterday, I found this thing that said, the Ukraine flag, it's blue on top and then yellow on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And, it comes from their wheat fields. So they're a big wheat producer. So it's if you took a picture of a wheat field, you'd have the blue sky on top and mm-hmm. then the yellow on the bottom.
Oh, that's like neat. Wheat. So that's what it's inspired by?
Yeah, exactly.
And I didn't even know they were big producers of wheat.
I didn't know either.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, you know, until you start hearing stuff, you're like, oh, I guess I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, our hearts are with the people over there and just praying that everything can go okay and they can find some peace there. But other than that, not much has been going on over here.
I did write two things. I got a haircut. So
you did?
Yeah. And I go to Great Clips, which is not the highest end of places. We did talk about how cheap I was. And yes. I ended up buying a Great Clips like credit card, not a credit card, a gift card, where you can get $11 haircuts for as long as like you have the gift card on there. Gosh. So I'm not very happy with it. I was looking this morning and I was like, yeah, they probably...
It's what happens when you go to Great Clips and they come to your cutting your hair smelling like a cigarette.
Yeah, their fingers always smell like cigarettes. It's kind of nice. It's like, oh, okay, she's like really into smoking. And
Mike, you know, what is a box at my haircuts? Because, of course, I go to a decent salon because I don't want my hair to be ruined.
Ladies, if you spend over, what is it, $250 per haircut?
Well, I go probably every 3 months or so.
How much is it? It's like $300.
Well, with tip, I think this past one was like $280.
So it's haircut and color, and I didn't know the girl spent this much. And then I talked to some girls at my work like a few years ago, and they're like, oh, that's like not even that much.
Well, because I only have a level 2 stylist. Certain salons have different levels based on their experience. And if you're at a level 4, what I'm having done would be over $400.
What do you think they are at Great Clips? What level?
Zero, minus, or negative 3. I mean, and I'm not, I don't want to knock the people at Great Clips, but I'm not going there to have my hair colored.
Right, I'm not paying for the level 3.
There's no way in hell I'm going to Great Clips to have my hair colored.
I'm paying for a basic haircut.
Yes, so yeah. I'm sorry if you work at Great Clips, but...
Hey, I appreciate you. So I'll see you next time.
But you didn't appreciate this haircut.
Well, that's okay. If it grows out a little bit, after like a week, it all looks the same anyways because I barely have any hair. And then gas is going up. I got it for $3.60 a gallon yesterday here in Florida. I know that probably people in California was like, $3.60? That's like free, basically. But then as I drove yesterday night to go get a card for our camera, it was $4 at that same place. Jeez. So I know that a tank didn't stop there and gas tank or anything, but gas is going up crazy. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But also I went to the dermatologist, which that's a reminder. You know, it's important to keep up with all these annual appointments we have, especially as we get older. I feel like I can only imagine what elderly people feel like. Because
I just told a kid on the baseball team that I coach with our son. The kid's like, oh, something. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm 20, over 25, you start dying. So I'm already, my body's shutting down and yours is still growing. They're like, what? You can't jump up and touch this? I'm like, I don't want to. I might break a knee or something like that or do something. So yeah, as we get older, sorry.
Yeah, no. So I had put off going to the dermatologist probably for years. And you're supposed to go once a year, depending on your skin, maybe even twice a year. It's just one of those important preventative checks to, you know, you could potentially find something early, and shame on me for putting it off. But this is just like a little reminder. If you haven't had it done, maybe make an appointment and just bite the bullet and just do it. But for cosmetic purposes, I had several moles removed. And so my back is killing me and my leg is killing me.
She got torn up, man.
Stitches in my leg.
Yeah. I mean, I go to like pet your leg or something. You're like, ugh. Yeah. It's like,
I like the stitches.
Oh, man. But yeah, good to get checked out. I got to get the old Roto-Rooter, as my dad calls it.
I don't think you do that until you're 50.
I think they change it to like 45.
Well, you're not 45. You're 42.
Up the old butt colonoscopy.
You don't
have
to do that for at least 3 years.
Okay. Well, I'm really, really looking forward to it.
So it sounds like it.
I'll make the appointment today. That's what I want to do. So we'll make sure.
Okay. The old Roto-Rooter.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, that's all that's been going on here.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, I took all my notes. I'm just excited to dig into your crime thing.
You're ready to go?
Yeah. And so it's your turn this week, my turn next week, and we keep on going that way.
Yes, it is.
That's what we say.
So I will just dive right in here. This story takes place in a little town that you're familiar with because of our friends, Mattapoisett, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
We have not there. Ourselves been, but our one of our best friends, they go yearly to Mattapoisett to vacation, and it looks beautiful. They stay in a cottage right on the water.
We got to tell them about this.
Yeah. So this story takes place between 2012, 2017. The bulk of the story is 2014.
So picture like a Cape Cod kind of scene, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's all surrounded by the water.
Yeah, beautiful cottages and a lot of little shacks and fish shacks. And
yeah, whatever. Yeah, of course, these people live here, but... So in 2012, Michelle Carter and Conrad Roy, those are going to be our two key people of the story. They fell in love. They're both from Massachusetts, but ironically, they met in Florida, where we are.
Oh.
They were vacationing with, Conrad was visiting his great aunt with his family, and Michelle was visiting her grandparents. And I believe they lived in the same community, you know, with like a country club, probably like a golf course community. And Conrad's great aunt introduced Conrad to Michelle.
And real quick, so Conrad Roy, there's a goalie in the NHL, a former goalie named Patrick Waugh, and it was spelled Roy. So,
oh.
Yeah, kind of weird. I mean, if it's like Canadian and somebody's going to be like, wait, you're saying it wrong. It's probably Roy, but.
Oh, yeah. No, this is Roy.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So, anyway, they kind of hit it off right away. They were riding bikes. They'd go to the beach together, basically finish their vacation together. The two, though, once they returned back to regular life, despite living less than an hour apart from each other, they met less than five times, maybe five times tops.
And throughout how long? Like
this story basically kind of wraps up 2 years later.
Oh, okay. And so, they knew that they lived pretty close?
Yes.
Huh.
Yes.
Interesting.
So ultimately, the relationship developed online.
Okay.
And, you know, even Conrad's family didn't truly even know that they were like kind of dating because she had only met Michelle two times total.
And what about age range? Like 20s,
they're, Michelle 30s. In 2014 is 17. So when they met, she was 15 and Conrad was 16.
Okay.
So they're a year apart from each other. So they, like I said, developed the relationship online. The two exchanged thousands and thousands of text messages, as many people do in this day and age. So just to give you a little idea of who they are, family called Conrad C3 because he was a third. Mm-hmm. His grandfather was Conrad Sr., his father was Conrad Jr., and he was the third. He was one of three children. He had two younger sisters, Camden and Morgan, and the family's life was basically just surrounded by the water, both in work and play. By the time he was a junior in high school, he basically worked with his dad full-time on his sailboat. And he, I guess it's a very big accomplishment. I don't know anything about this, but he earned his captain's license at Northeast Maritime Institute.
Wow. That's pretty big.
When he was only 18 years old,
I'm
which I guess,
like I know, but that sounds like
I guess that's
deal.
Like a huge honor when you're only 18.
Okay.
So that was a big deal. But his parents ended up separating when he was only 16 and their divorce really hit him hard. I think that's just a really tough age.
Yeah.
You know, you're in high school, you've got your things going on, and he took it hard. So during high school, his parents started to notice that his grades were slipping and he was struggling to focus. He had trouble sleeping and he did confide in his parents that he had racing thoughts and felt like he was losing his memory. So they took him to doctors and psychiatrists to help him and he began taking the antidepressant Celexa at this time. His mom said, "If my kids are happy, I'm happy." And I think most parents would agree with that statement. That's like really all we want. We want our kids to be happy.
You have a kid, it's just like, that's kind of what it is. Now, not, you know, you got to still, you know, teach them things and, you know, letdowns will happen, but yeah.
Of course.
Ultimately, doing their happiness stuff is the best.
And, you know, that's what I told our 13-year-old. I think it's tough, too, because as kids hit teenage years, their emotions kind of spiral and they don't know how to handle it. And I told our son, because he's a 13-year-old, and you can kind of tell he's like going through some changes. But I said, you know, I'm 42 years old and sometimes once a month my emotions will spiral and I have a hard time handling it. So it's okay. Just know that it's okay.
There was someone on Twitter that said, can somebody explain to me why my 15-year-old daughter hates me, even though like I give her love and affection? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist or anything, but from everything I've read, it's like you got to picture that their brain is changing from a kid's brain to an adult brain. And there's a lot of things that need to fire inside of that brain in order to make it happen. And it changes everything and their whole body is changing. So it's not their fault. We all know that. But yeah, puberty is tough, man.
It is tough. I mean, our son has probably grown like 4 inches, 5 inches in the past year. Their bodies are going through crazy, crazy changes. The hormones are surging. It's just like a perfect storm for problems.
Yeah.
So Conrad's dad had said, you know, watching his son struggle just absolutely destroyed his soul, which,
you know. You take it on yourself a little bit and you're like, you know, I wish we would have been able to change something and not put this on him.
So he said he was so sad to watch him go through this, struggling with like who to sit with at school, getting picked on by certain kids. And then in October of 2012, kind of backtracking a little bit, Conrad was hospitalized after a serious suicide attempt. I guess he overdosed on acetaminophen, and to the point that in one article that I read said he could have potentially needed a liver transplant because it destroys your liver. You could tell he wanted to not necessarily go through with it, though, because he did reach out to a friend after he did what he did, and she contacted his parents.
That's what they say. A lot of times, like, it's like after the fact, they realize, oh, I shouldn't have done that.
Right, because it's like such an impulsive thing, and they're not thinking that this is forever.
Right.
So thankfully, his parents got contacted, EMS was called, and he was able to go, you know, survive this. I think he immediately started vomiting, and then they may have pumped his stomach, so they got it out of his system in enough time.
Poor kid.
Sadly, he did try to commit suicide at least four times in his teenage years.
So definitely had some demons he was working with.
Absolutely. And as time went on, moving into 2014, Conrad's family felt he was getting better. He graduated from high school with a 3.88 GPA. He was accepted to college. A scholarship was in the works. Things were looking good. So Michelle Carter, on the other hand, she was from Plainville, Massachusetts, a small town of about 8,000 people. Like I said, they lived less than an hour from each other. She was described as a good student. She was polite, respected by adults. In her small town, she was known as a sweet and caring girl, always helpful to other people. And as I go through with this story, people in her town cannot wrap their heads around what happened. So right now you have no idea, but you'll soon find out.
Yeah.
So on June 13th, 2014, Conrad made a video posted to YouTube about how overwhelming his social anxiety was. He was talking about how he needed to take steps to control it and be more proactive about it, trying to basically put himself out there in social situations. And also, understand that as much as you're focusing on your flaws and what's going on in your head, other people aren't seeing that.
No, it's like part of the like when we say it at work, you know, I'll do a lot of presentations in front of a lot of important people and doctors and such. And sometimes people will be like, well, you know, I don't know how I did in that presentation. It's like, you know what you're supposed to say. They don't know what you're going to say. So you're in an advantage as far as that's concerned. Whenever you're talking in a group, most people aren't thinking, oh, this person's an idiot. They're like, oh, that's interesting. Or if it's not interesting, they just wait until the next interesting thing. And it's like, okay, oh, yeah, that is interesting. And they write it down. So you're not nearly as weird as you think you are, basically.
Right. And that was what his video was basically about, because we have the microscope on ourselves. Other people don't. They're worried about their own selves,
right?
Not focusing on our little tiny flaws that we have amplified in our heads. And that's just the thing. It's all in our heads. And he was saying in this video that he understood that, and that he really was trying to be more confident, because I think it sounded like he really oftentimes didn't like himself as a person. He thought of himself as like this little tiny speck of dirt in the world.
That doesn't surprise me with the suicide attempts. It's and it's tough. I mean, if anybody's listening, I'm going to post the suicide hotline.
Right, and I have that in my notes.
We're going to have that in the notes, but please, as a kid, you know, I had some thoughts of not anything close to actually going through with it, but like, I wish I wasn't alive anymore, you know? And it's like those cases, like, you're just a kid, you don't even know like anything, and you're like, your parents love you so freaking much. Even if you don't have parents that love you, somebody cares for you. Like, I can say that I care for you if you're listening, you know, to this, or you know, as a human being, we're like, we're in this together.
Right, and we're all struggling. And, you know, when you're a kid, you think things are the end of the world. And then when you're an adult, you look back and you're like, it was nothing. And my mom used to tell me that. She'd be like, right now you feel like your world is ending and you're never going to get through with it.
Not to take away from what
you're feeling. No, and that's just the thing. She said, you're going to look back on this and realize that, you know, this wasn't the end of the world.
But you can't imagine that.
No, so when you're in it, you can't.
All you can say is it's a hard time you're going through.
Yeah.
And you will get through it, I promise. You know, like that's a support.
Yeah. So basically his video said that, you know, despite being 18, he felt his life was controlled by social anxiety and depression. He said that his parents were great and they loved him, but he was still depressed and he felt like something was wired wrong with him, and that talking about it made him feel better. So then on July 12th, 2014, Carter spent the day, so this is just about almost to the day a month later after he had posted this video. So July 12, 2014, Carter spent the day with his mom, Lynn, and his two sisters at the beach. Afterward, he took his sisters for ice cream. He left the house around 6 p.m. that evening and told his mom that he was going to see a friend. She asked him if he'd be home for dinner, and he said he didn't think so. Those were the last words she ever spoke to her son. Ugh, it just makes me sick inside. So that evening, Michelle randomly texts Conrad's sister Camden saying that she and Conrad were officially boyfriend and girlfriend. And it didn't sound from what I was reading that she would often text Camden.
So at this age, they're what, like 18 and 17?
17 and 18, okay. Yes.
Okay, sorry.
So Michelle is 17, Conrad is 18. Okay. So Camden had said she turned to her mom and she's like, they are boyfriend and girlfriend? Like, we didn't know that.
News to us.
Exactly. And then she had also, Michelle asked Camden, do you know where Conrad is? And Michelle's like, no, he's out with friends. So at 10:30 or 11 that night, Lynn texts Conrad, that's his mom, asking when he'd be home, but got no response. She tried him again in the middle of the night since he still hadn't come home. Again, no response. The next day, on July 13th, 2014, 18-year-old Conrad Roy was reported as a missing person to the Fairhaven police. When he failed to come home, Lynn knew something was wrong. She said that just wasn't like him to stay out without calling. Mm-hmm. She said she felt a rush go through her body as if Conrad passed through her, and it's something she had never felt or experienced before.
Wow.
She said at that point, she just knew he wasn't there.
Mm. That's sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. So Conrad drove a black Ford pickup truck, and it was found that afternoon at the Fairhaven Kmart. Conrad was sadly found dead in his truck from acute carbon monoxide intoxication by suicide.
Wow. And yep. Outside, so did he have a tube like going into the car? Or what?
So he had purchased a generator, and the generator was sitting on the back seat of the car, just filling the car with carbon monoxide. Mm. His phone was sitting next to him, dead on his seat. His family was clearly devastated, as any family would be. His mom, Lynn, said that she wished she would have picked up on more signs, seen more that week, that day, saying that she, you know, just didn't understand how bad he was feeling. She thought he was doing better.
Well, looking back, it's like, oh, I should have known about this. But it's like, it seems something like any other week, you know, where he didn't do anything. So right. You're kind of like, maybe he'll get through it. And hopefully he's going to see a friend. That'll make him feel better.
Right. And that's the thing. He was.
Right.
He was starting to go out and socialize more. So things were looking up. His grades were picking up. He graduated. He was going to college. Like, everything was pointing in the right direction. Mm. And it was just, she couldn't wrap her head around how this happened. They had just been at the beach that day.
Huh.
She said, you know, they were driving to the beach. He was happily eating chips and guacamole. You know, that's like a blip on the radar. You'd say like, oh, well, what does him eating chips and guacamole have to do with it? But you would think like, if he was thinking in his head that night, I'm going to commit suicide, would you have the appetite to sit and munch on chips and guacamole?
Right. I imagine you'd be in your own head.
You'd be in your own head.
Yeah, I'm going to do this or whatever. So obviously it wasn't too much premeditated. Maybe it was. I don't know.
But. So his sister had noticed that at the beach he was texting somebody while he was sitting in his beach chair or whatever, and that he may have seemed a little anxious.
Okay.
But his mom really didn't pick up on anything. She said had she known how he was feeling or what he was intending to do, she would have literally handcuffed him to her car and brought him to the hospital.
Right.
Of course she would have.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, any parent would, for sure.
So that night, Michelle had texted Lynn when she found out that Conrad had passed away. I'm so very sorry. Conrad meant so much to me. She also texts Conrad's sister Camden. Hey, love, please talk to me if you need to. I want to do everything I can to help you and your family through this very difficult time. Is there any way I can come over tomorrow? I'm so very sorry. Conrad meant so much to me and was loved by so many. Lynn, of course, is Conrad's mom. Lynn told Michelle that she was so glad that Conrad had someone like her in his life. Michelle said, you tried your hardest. I tried my hardest. Everyone tried their hardest to save him. And Lynn thought, what? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, right.
Tried to save him.
Like, things were going okay. What do you like?
There were no signs of impending suicide happening. So definitely Lynn was like, what are you talking about?
Right. This is weird.
So she had no idea he was feeling as bad as he was. And, you know, the hard thing is, too, I think especially with boys, they have a hard time expressing what's on their minds.
For sure.
And they can be closed books, and you can't crack that nut, you know? and you want to, and you say like, what's going on in your mind? What are you feeling? What are you thinking? Talk to me. And they're like, oh, nothing. You can't make somebody share their feelings.
Speaking as a man, former boy. We don't like talking very much about problems. I'm more open now because I, you know, married you and you're very open and sharing things.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, is it worth bringing up? And, you know, I'll get through it somehow. I don't know. And then maybe that's like society or whatever it is. I'm not really sure, but it's, we tend to keep things internal. And sometimes a female can't understand that because women, for the most part, like
want to share
things. Yeah, exactly. And it's tough.
And, you know, I met you when we were 16, so you come from a family that doesn't share much. I come from a family who shares too much.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like meeting in the middle. And, you know, of course, you're a kid when I meet you, and I'm a kid too, but I'm a very emotional person. And
very, very
like emotional. We say on this podcast, I share what I'm feeling, and you didn't.
Right.
So I had to definitely like work on getting that out of you.
Yeah. Like you overshare, I don't share at all. And somewhere in the middle is the right thing.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So, you know, what we try to tell our kids is that we might not be able to solve your problems because clearly we can't go with you to school and fix what's happening, but it's taking that weight off your chest.
Somebody sharing with you.
Just sharing and knowing that, you know, no matter what, we have your back. Right. I've got your back and we will get through this. I promise you, come hell or high water, we will get through this. And I know for a fact that Conrad's parents would have helped him get through this, but they didn't know. And right. That's just the saddest part of it.
So how did Michelle know?
So we'll find out.
Yeah.
When Conrad's family told Michelle that Conrad had been cremated, because she had text saying like, will it be an open casket? And they're like, no, he's not going to be buried. He's being cremated. And that they're going to spread half of his ashes into the ocean at his grandparents' house, where is very fitting because, again, he grew up on the water.
Captain stuff.
Yep, all that. Michelle asked if she could have some of his ashes, which the family was like, what? Like, they don't know this girl.
Right.
Keep in mind.
Yeah.
To this date, Conrad's mom had met Michelle one time in 2013 when she had come to one of his baseball games.
And it's hard to believe that they're so close when it's like, I haven't even like really talked to
you. Because you don't know what's going on in these texts.
Right.
They don't know the depth of the relationship because they haven't seen it.
Sure.
So they found that strange. So at the funeral, Conrad's close friend, Ariana, said that Michelle sat up close near the family area. She said she seemed like a grieving widow, constantly sobbing and really kind of making a scene.
Right.
And again, nobody knows this girl.
They're like, what's going on with this
girl? Yeah. You
know, it's at the same time, she's sad, sure, yes. But this is all news to them.
And this friend, Ariana, she understood and she hugged Michelle, not knowing her, but, you know, knowing that she had a relationship with Conrad. Mm-hmm. But she did seem like, huh, what the heck?
Weird.
So Conrad had left a journal filled with suicide notes to his family. He also left a note for Michelle. In it, he left passwords to his laptop and his iPhone. So when they found Conrad in his truck, his phone was there. It was dead. The battery had run out. So once they opened the phone, detectives saw a message thread between Conrad and Michelle Carter on 7/12, which of course was the day he drove to the Kmart. Mm-hmm. At 5:17 p.m., they saw a text from Michelle that read, "Did you delete the text messages?" So police ended up extracting more than 1,000 deleted text messages between Conrad and Michelle.
Wow.
And they quickly discovered how disturbing these text messages were, and the DA's office was contacted.
Jeez.
So here's just a little blip of some of the texts that they saw. So Michelle says, "Are you going to do it now?" Conrad. "I constantly wanted to call him Carter in my head because her last name is Carter."
Oh, okay.
And in most of the sources that I read, they call them by their last names, which both of their last names are people's names.
Yeah.
Carter and Roy. Mm-hmm. So I kept getting that messed up. So my apologies. So Conrad said, "I just don't know how to leave them, you know?" And Michelle said, "So you're going to the store or something? You're overthinking." Conrad said, "I know I'm overthinking. I've been overthinking for a while now." Michelle says, "I know. You just have to do it like you said. Are you going to do it now?"
Oh my God. What a psycho. What the fuck is wrong with this?
This is just a little tiny scraping of the things I'm going to read you.
Oh my
God. You will want to throw up and simultaneously donkey kick this chick in the face. Because as a mother, I can't wrap my head around. As a human, I cannot wrap my head around this. How? And honestly, as I'm speaking right now, I have like terrible goosebumps through my whole body just thinking that a person would possibly text these things to somebody that felt suicidal.
I mean, initial reaction as a parent is like, I want to end this Michelle's life immediately, but you can't, obviously you can't just kill people. So no.
So
what a terrible thing.
Detective Scott Gordon and Glenn Cudmore headed to Wrentham, Massachusetts, where Michelle went to high school. They interviewed her there and she admitted, ultimately, I think initially she was kind of denying talking to him that day. Yeah.
We have all the texts, you stupid idiot.
I don't think at this point in time she knew what they had.
Of course not. No, they want to see what she's going to share.
Exactly. So she said, then she admitted, yes, they were talking that night. The phone hung up, but she thought nothing of it when they were speaking the night he committed suicide.
Yeah.
Detectives got a search warrant because they just didn't believe a friggin' word that was coming out of
this. They read all the texts. They're like, you're lying. Okay. Oh, that sounds good.
So they got a search warrant for her phone, and you can hear the interview. You couldn't see it. You could just hear it. And they're like, so we got a search warrant for your phone, Michelle, and we're taking it. She's like, what? You're taking my phone? They're like, yes, we're taking your phone. So they take it. They extracted over 60,000 items.
Well, she's going into this meeting thinking, okay, I'll be able to go back home. And now it's like, shit, there's so much on this phone.
Yep. So the Massachusetts State Police extracted over 60,000 items that included pictures, text messages, voice messages, call logs, chats through Facebook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Basically all that she's been doing on her phone. So detectives sifted through everything and they interviewed the two detectives that had gone through this. So they each went home and they both read through about 1,000 texts apiece. They came together the next day at the office and just looked at each other and they're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
So basically, it also showed that the night he committed suicide at 6:28 p.m., Conrad called Michelle. They spoke for 43 minutes. At 7:12 p.m., Michelle called Conrad and they spoke for another 47 minutes. So after sifting through these text messages, the detectives quickly concluded that had it not been for Michelle and her encouragement, Conrad would likely still be alive today.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like, I mean, just from the couple seconds you said about the text, have you done it yet? Have you done it? Like, she was getting off on this. She loved the control and she loved the, I mean, it's kind of like murder. It's like indirect murder. Obviously, Conrad had his problems, but like, man.
It was a very big push.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't make a non-suicidal person go into their car and put a generator in there.
Right.
But when you're in a bad place and have the potential of going down that road, you can be pushed. And that is my opinion, that you can be pushed along.
Yeah, and I would imagine that because you're capable. And it's obviously he's had attempts and stuff in the past. And she saw this as like a challenge. And maybe, you know, I don't know if this will come out in the story, but maybe when they met in Florida, they had a conversation and he's like, you know, I'm going to try to like make sure I kill myself and I want you to make sure I do. But either way, like a regular human that has compassion wouldn't talk somebody into killing themselves.
Never. And you will find out more of why they think that this happened. So this is now a criminal case and a grand jury returned an indictment for involuntary manslaughter on February 5th, 2015.
That's what I was. So it's like, it's manslaughter, but
it's not. It's certainly not murder because she didn't put her hands on him and murder him.
And the more I do these crime podcasts, the more I'm learning about all these different levels. And I'm sure a lot of you out there are experts on all this stuff. But it seems like a manslaughter kind of thing. But they're going to try to get what they can. So involuntary manslaughter seems like a slam dunk. Basically,
so she was booked and released on bail the following day. Obviously, it's like reliving Conrad's death all over again once his family finds out about these texts. Shock, disbelief, disgusted, just unable to fathom that somebody would say these things.
Yeah, just to your son, to your baby, basically. Mm-hmm. It's to anybody that you love, like whether you have sons or daughters or not. Like imagine this happening to a friend.
No.
Somebody goes out of their way to your girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, and it's just like, yeah, you should do it. Like imagine the rage you would feel about that.
I can't. So here's just another text you could see. Drink bleach. Why don't you just drink bleach? Hang yourself. Jump off of a building. Stab yourself. IDK. There's a lot of ways.
So many ideas. Such a nice person, Michelle. You sack of shit. And I hope you get to know like what her background is and everything.
So we'll just get a little bit. So we'll just keep going.
Okay, sorry.
No, it's okay. These are very reasonable emotions.
I'm feeling a lot of bad things towards Michelle.
Me too. I was absolutely sick and disgusted by reading this. So Michelle's attorney, Joseph Caltaz, Cataldo, my apologies, Joseph, felt that she committed no crime. There's no law in Massachusetts or 10 other states that criminalizes encouragement of suicide.
And how do you be a lawyer? I mean, I know there's lawyers that defend pieces of crap like this all the time, and I know their job is to defend the letter of the law, but it's like, come on, man, this person's a piece of shit and needs to, like, fester somewhere.
I mean, he has to know this, but he's defending her.
Well, you're a piece of shit too, Joe.
Well, Joseph Cataldo. I don't know why I can't say that last
name. Doesn't matter. Your last name, you're ruining your last name because you're a piece of shit. Okay.
So he said that she was 40 miles away from Conrad and that he could have stayed out of his truck and hung up the phone. There's no coercion here. He argued that Conrad was determined to take his own life and that his death was a suicide, not a homicide. So June 5th, 2017, the trial began. At this point in time, Michelle was 20 years old. And she waived her right to a jury trial, leaving it to Judge Lawrence Moniz. So rather than having the jury decide, the judge is going to be the sole decider to determine her guilt or innocence. The first witness...
That's weird. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because then there can always be a shady judge who's like, no, I don't think so. Well, yeah, case dismissed.
It was an interesting choice. I don't know much about, you know, why she would have done this. But the first witness called to the stand was Lynn, Conrad's mom. Also, girls from Michelle's school came forward in trial and said that Michelle often complained that she felt she had no friends. They themselves said they saw her in school. She played sports, too. She was in softball. But none of them really hung out with her outside of school. And honestly, a lot of her texts were very desperate and hard to read. Mm-hmm. And you could tell the other girl on the other side of the phone was like, nice, very nice girls, but... Like, it was just, like, cringy. Like
I'd rather not be talking to you right now. Okay, that sounds good.
And you can just tell it was very awkward text and, like, haha, you want to hang out? How about we hang out? Want to hang out? And it's like, I have to work tonight.
Yeah, definitely later. Take care.
And lots of, like, LOLs, lots of ha-has, lots of, like, you know, just awkward, strange exchanges that are just like, ugh, you know?
Yeah.
So I think she was just kind of desperate to have friends.
Yeah.
So between July 10th and 10th and 11th, and at this point in time, Conrad is home and well. You know, obviously, he went to the beach with his mom on the 12th. So this is July 10th and 11th. Days before Conrad committed suicide, Michelle begins texting these girls, lying that Conrad is missing. And saying it's his fault if he's done anything. I wasn't there to save him. During this time, she's simultaneously texting Conrad. So it's like she's trying to get attention from these girls from school. And nothing's even happened to Conrad at this point.
Wow.
So basically, the belief is that she built this story and people would know that she was a liar. So she needed to convince Conrad to do something so that she didn't look like a liar.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So she's like...
What a psychopath.
Like I said, texting Conrad at this time saying, are you going to go buy it? Referring to the machine that he would use to kind of like,
you got to make sure I look good to these people I'm trying to lie to so they'll be my friends.
Right. Like, and give me attention.
There's other ways to make friends, sweetheart.
Yep, sadly, there are. So Conrad said, I think so. And she says, okay, when? This is about going to buy the generator. So then on July 12th, this is the night that Conrad drove to the Kmart. At 8.02 p.m., Michelle texts Sam, a girl from school, saying that Conrad called her. There was a loud noise like a motor. I heard moaning like someone was in pain, and he wouldn't answer when I said his name. I stayed on the phone for like 20 minutes, and that's all I heard. I think he just killed himself. So she tells Sam this at the time that Conrad is likely committing suicide. But wouldn't the question be, did you call the police? Did you call his parents?
Yeah, call somebody. 911 is the first thing. Like, why are you texting me, stupid?
Yeah, so I don't know if the teenage girls ever asked her that.
Maybe not. You know, they're kids.
Yeah, they're kids. You know, they're 17 years old.
I mean, you should be smart enough to say call 911. But at the same time, there's drama involved. And they're like, well, what's happening? You want to know what's happening next.
Yeah, and they're really not close friends with Michelle.
Right.
And then also that same evening at 9:24 p.m., Michelle was texting another girl saying that Conrad called her and she heard muffled sounds and some type of motor running. It was like 20 minutes and he wouldn't answer. I think he killed himself. Again, she says, I heard moaning sounds and pain. I tried to call back. He didn't answer or anything. He told me that he had got a generator for work that day, on the phone, I heard a motor running, and I think it was the generator.
Oh,
I looked it up online, and they said it's dangerous and fatal, and you can die within 20 minutes. She knew all of these things before, because they had all been sent in text to Conrad before this.
Their plan.
Yes. On the next day, when he was discovered, on the 13th, at 7:04 p.m., she texted the same friend saying, "He's dead. He committed suicide." Then on the 20th, she texted the same friend saying, That night when he actually did it, I was talking to him on the phone when he killed himself. I heard him die. So it's like she's completely putting herself there.
Yeah.
The next day, Michelle asked this girl if she could hang out to get her mind off things. You could totally see she's setting the stage, like, come to my house, spend time with me. And then again, the girl, like, didn't respond for, like, many, many hours.
You don't want to get yourself into that. Don't feel, like, pressured to hang out with somebody you don't want to hang out with. Like, you got to surround yourself with people who are positive and in the right direction. If you're feeling like you shouldn't hang out with somebody, don't do it.
And Michelle really was described as a bubbly, positive person, but obviously they saw something in her that just put them off.
I can't believe that she was described as bubbly and positive.
And you see her in all these photos, like, smiling and such.
So it's probably a fake, like, persona and just,
and people pick that up.
Yeah.
They can tell when somebody's not genuine.
Like, the fake laughs and stuff. I can picture her just like, yeah. It's like, what are you laughing about? Are you crazy?
And there were even some texts that I briefly read that said, like, I know I'm awkward and blah, blah, blah. And the girl's like, oh, God. You know, it's
yeah,
like,
you are.
Ugh.
Yeah,
I just don't want to get into this.
Right.
Michelle also put together a tournament called Homers for Conrad in Conrad's honor to raise money for mental health awareness. You might think that, oh, this is so nice. Now, two of his close friends thought that this was very weird because she was hosting it in her town of Plainville
instead
versus
of the town
where he was from.
Right.
And you could see some of the text between Tom, his friend, and Michelle saying, Michelle, why are you hosting it in this town? Nobody knows Conrad there.
Right.
And it was very weird exchanges. Her, basically, the biggest gist of this text was, don't think you're going to take credit for this.
Like,
that was brought up multiple times.
Wow.
And you could tell, like, his friend Tom was like, what the heck?
Don't worry. Homers is your thing. Homers for Conrad is your thing. I just think
better. It would be better.
You'd have more people awareness, whatever you're trying to raise money for, whatever.
Yes.
You're going to have a better turnout here.
So they said that during the event, Tom said Michelle seemed very happy and was loving the attention as a grieving girlfriend. I mean, she looked like she was on cloud nine during this event. So as the story and trial went on, Michelle became known as a completely evil person, obviously, and received a heck of a lot of hate.
You know, going back to about the trial, I'd imagine, so Michelle's people probably picked to have the judge do it, right? I would imagine.
I would imagine that the attorney guided her in that
direction. Because if you go against a jury, the whole jury is going to be against
right.
you. Like, regular people, when it gets emotional, you have, like, almost no chance against a jury because the jury is going to side with, you know,
right.
the emotional side. And yeah, I mean, this is, she's on cloud nine, like, just what a, initially, though, you tell me two sentences and I hate this girl already. So.
I know, and everybody hated her. So, I mean, it's two wrongs don't make a right, and despite the things that she did, I could never stand in front of her and scream out, kill yourself.
No.
But that's what people were doing.
Right.
Like, as she's walking through, they'd be like, kill yourself, Michelle, kill yourself.
Yeah, that's not the right way to go.
That's not the right way to go about
it. We all feel the same. You don't have to go in suit to her level, basically.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Let the legal system take care of things. And, I mean, there's never going to be enough justice to bring back Conrad, but...
Never. Yeah. Never. But it's a point of, like, this should never have happened.
Right.
So, during the trial... She was completely emotionless. I mean, looked dead in the face. The only time I ever saw her show any emotion was when her verdict, when the verdict was read to her, like how it was going to affect her.
Mm-hmm.
She sat dead in the eyes. She almost looked like a completely different person than who she looked like in her pictures before everything happened.
Huh. Like the real part of her came out, kind of.
And she looked evil.
Which was like nothing, basically. Like it was all a cover up, basically being like laughing and smiling and bubbly. It's like, but in the backside, you know, in her brain, it was probably just like dead, you know?
Yeah.
And trying to find some kind of emotion towards herself. So,
yeah.
So hungry for an emotion and connection that.
And she had her own problems. She
did. Sorry, did you say the verdict yet? You're getting
not
there?
Yet. I okay. will get there.
Okay.
So she had her own problems. She was bulimic at one point in time. She was on antidepressants herself.
I picture her as pale and skinny.
She's very skinny.
Okay.
Yes. Thin, gaunt. But again, she looks like a different person during the trial than she does in her pictures before that. But just some weird stories came out. Like when she was playing softball, there was a girl on her team and she was telling other friends that there was a spark and connection between her and this girl and that maybe she was bisexual and that there was a lot of flirting going on. And I'm in love with two people of two different genders at the same time. Isn't that weird? And her friends were like trying to be supportive, like, no, that's not weird or whatever. But then when it came through, this girl that she was talking about was like, what?
There's no spark.
There's no nothing. Yeah. Like, so it was like a lot like of
creating drama.
A lot of things were going on in her head that were not reality.
Right.
Very bizarre.
Her brain's trying to sell herself on this stuff to make her feel emotion.
So she also did a lot of self-harm. She tried hanging herself at one point. How true this is, I don't know, but like she immediately texted somebody from school and said she was going to do it and was chickening out. Was it just a cry for attention? Who knows? It's sad regardless that anyone would...
You got to take every threat seriously about suicide.
Yes.
Yeah.
So on June 29th, about 2 weeks before Conrad's death, Conrad had texted Michelle, "There's nothing anyone can do for me. That's going to make me want to live. It's very bad to hear, but I want to let you know truthfully. We should be like Romeo and Juliet in the end." She says, ha ha. But again, like the ha ha, like this does not warrant a ha ha. Right. Very, very strange.
Yeah.
I'd love to be your Juliet. And then he says, but do you know what happens in the end? And she says, oh yeah, in all caps, fuck no, we are not dying. And she says, the mental hospital would help you. So here she is, like, showing, like, normal reaction.
Right.
I know you don't think it would, but I'm telling you, if you give them a chance, they can save your life. Very appropriate.
Sure.
He says, it doesn't help. Trust me. She says, part of me wants you to try something and fail just so you can go get help. But he'd done that before, right. You know?
Yeah, I already done that.
And Conrad says, the only way I'd hate you is if you told people about this. You hear me? And she says, I'm not going to tell anyone. He says, my mom just saw my laptop. And she says, what's on your laptop? What did your mom see? He said, the page said suicide methods on the front, and she looked right at it. She definitely saw it and read it and just ignored it. She definitely read it. She knows what I'm going through, and maybe she will understand.
So that's, wait, Conrad?
Conrad is saying this.
Okay, so he's kind of trying to get some help?
And yes, but I highly, highly doubt that his mom saw this.
Right.
She's a mom. She has three kids. She probably breezed in his room to grab something and he thinks she saw it, but didn't.
And then thinks like, oh man, she doesn't even care if I kill myself.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's no way she saw it.
I promise you, if your parent is a parent at all, they're going to care that and you're trying to kill yourself.
Conrad's mom, in all of her interviews, you could tell she loved her kids. She was utterly devastated. There's no way she saw this on the screen.
Yeah.
But Michelle responds with, yeah, maybe she is accepting it. That's really good, right? What? What planet are you living on?
What a psycho.
Your mom, she's good with it. She's accepted it. No, she's never going to accept it.
No.
You nut.
Right.
And then he says, I hope so. I really hope I can do this. Michelle at one point said, if you're going to do a last tweet, can it be about me? And then basically tells him what she wants him to say. Love is how you stay alive even after you're gone. Like.
And did he tweet it?
No.
Okay.
So then on the defense and trial, Dr. Peter Bruggen said that Michelle switched gears on July 2nd. So this is kind of the point where she went from being go get help, this, that, and the other to do it.
Do it, yeah.
Just switch gears.
Right.
So he thinks that she went through involuntary intoxication from her antidepressant Celexa. Another psychiatrist argues that this makes no sense at all. And another psychiatrist I heard was like, this term isn't even used.
Right.
Like, you never hear this terminology used. It was an older doctor. It's like, I don't know if this was used back in the 1950s.
we're not talking about that anymore, doc.
Yeah, the one psychiatrist had argued that this makes no sense at all, saying that SSRIs, that's what these are, serotonin, whatever.
Inhibitors.
Yeah, are remarkably safe and do not make you delusional or psychotic or intoxicated. He felt that the problem was the text, saying that texting separates you and makes you feel less responsible and keeps you away from the human contact.
You can say more in text. Like, yes. There's a lot of things, like, you can say things, you know, both good and bad. And it's like, you know, it's a lot easier for people that can't say I love you in person to say I love you in text. You know, like my dad, for something, you know, he's not a guy that grew up saying I love you to me, but, you know, in text all the time he'll say it. So it's just easier to get emotions out there. And because it doesn't seem like you're really going to affect somebody because you can't see their face.
Right, exactly. It's just you're separated from that eye contact, I think, and just the human connection. So then Michelle's text at one point, Jesus will take care of you, babe. You'll be happy and protected in heaven. I just want you to finally be happy. So, so happy. Heaven needs a hero. Buy Tylenol. Get Benadryl. That makes you fall asleep fast. If you take all the pills in those boxes and fall asleep with a bag taped, in all caps, tightly to your head so no air can get in, you'll definitely die, babe. Conrad, of course I will be there. You'll definitely
die, babe.
Like this is sick.
Can you imagine reading these texts?
No.
Oh, my God.
No, I cannot. Conrad, of course I will be there for your family. I will help them as much as I can to get through this. When are you going to do it? Stop ignoring the question. So
you having a female voice is like making it even worse because this is like kind of what she sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, gosh.
It's sickening. So on July 3rd, 2014, 9 days before Conrad's death, he texts, good night, see you in the next life. So he definitely did play around with the suicide card a lot, you could tell.
He was enjoying the kind of attention and stuff too.
Perhaps. And then she texts back, Conrad, answer me, please. I fell asleep. I'm so sorry. And that's not fair to her.
No.
This isn't funny. Answer me right now. I'm so sorry. I couldn't save you. Please come back. This is not happening. You're my best friend. You're my boyfriend. I love you so much. Please don't leave me. Hmm. So, you know, this kind of just shows how kind of messed up they're.
Yeah, of course.
And then they also said that through texts, you could tell that Michelle was way more into Conrad than he was with her. And again, it was like the bizarre text, like, I don't know, some of the things I read where he's like, what are you, and he would kind of call it right out. He'd be like, what are you talking about?
It's like, it'd be a much more serious relationship from her point of view rather than his.
Yes.
He's like, I mean, we talked sometimes, we're not boyfriend and girlfriend.
And they did talk a lot, and he did say that, yes, they were boyfriend and girlfriend. He did say that, and he did call her babe a couple of times, and she's like, oh, you called me babe. But I'll talk more about like how she was like in her head in a little bit. So July 5th, 2014, the following texts were sent between 8:36 a.m. and 2:16 p.m., 8 days before Conrad died. Conrad says, hi. She says, hi. He says, what's up? She says, just woke up. You? Why do you seem happy? Ha ha. Because tonight's the night. You said that last night and the night before. He says, ha ha, I know, but it has to be tonight. I'll be alone. Mom and Brian are sleeping over at a friend's house in Rhode Island. She says, so yeah, tonight seems like the perfect night. Michelle also says, like you have all night to try different things. He says, yes, LOL. And like the whole like LOL and ha ha, like,
they're kind of playing around with the idea. You can kind of tell, like, it's like he definitely wants to kill himself and he's enjoying this interaction. And at the same time, you know, he probably doesn't do it because he wants to, you know, have that conversation again about how he's going to kill himself. And he's enjoying the process of, you know, them coming up with this plan.
Yeah, I guess.
And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a good idea. But it's like, it's funny because it's so morbid, I guess. I get it.
It's very morbid, but it's so serious. And I would just be like, let's go. I'm going to go get you right now. We'll take you to the hospital. Please, let's do this.
We're not dealing with those people.
And then she says, there's a difference between saying, I'm going to try to commit suicide and I'm going to commit suicide. And he says, well, I'm going to try. And she says, so you don't want it bad enough. You already know you're going to fail because part of you wants to fail. Just saying. And he says, yeah. And she says, yeah, what? And he says, it's just hard, Michelle. And she says, I know it is. And so Conrad did not take his life that day, but obviously 8 days later he would. So in the days before Conrad took his life, the following message were also exchanged. Michelle says, I think your parents know you're in a really bad place. I'm not saying they want you to do it, but I honestly feel like they can accept it. And Conrad's mom said, like, she thought we would just like get over it. And I will never, to the day I die, get over this ever.
Oh, of course. Any human knows that's like, you know, not insane.
She was so blasé about it though, like, I'll help them get through. Bitch, they don't even know you,
right? Nobody's helping them get through it. I mean, no, not even a family member, a close family member.
No.
It's just like, you just got to deal with it. It's the worst thing they're ever going to feel in their lives.
She says, they know there's nothing they can do. They've tried helping. Everyone's tried. But there is a point that comes where there isn't anything anyone could do to save you, not even yourself. And you've hit that point, and I think your parents know you've hit that point. Again, Conrad's mom said, I would have handcuffed him to my car and taken him to the hospital had I known this.
Of course, yeah.
You said your mom saw a suicide thing on your computer and didn't say anything. I think she knows it's on your mind and she's prepared for it. Everyone will be sad for a while, but they will get over it. And move on.
What a sack of shit, man.
They won't be in a depression. I won't let that happen.
Thank you so much. Oh, gosh. It'll make me feel better.
I know.
It's crazy.
They know how sad you are. They know that you are doing this to be happy. And I think they will understand and accept it. They will always carry you in their hearts. And he says, aw, thank you, Michelle. She says, they will move on for you because they know that's what you would have wanted. They know you wouldn't want them to be sad and depressed and be angry and guilty. They know you want them to live their lives and be happy. So they will for you. You're right. You need to stop thinking about this and just do it, because overturning always kills. Overthinking. He says, yeah, it does. I've been thinking about it for too long. She says, always smile, and yeah, you just have to do it. You have everything you need. There's no way you can fail. Tonight is the night. It's now or never.
So she's hard selling this suicide thing.
Like, and it only gets worse.
Just like everything she can think of, she's pulling out like, oh, well, your mom doesn't care, and this, and they're going to be fine, and don't worry, I'm going to cover everything. Taking care of everything he's worried about to not do it. Basically, like, checking those check marks off and just being like, you have no other reason now. I've taken care of everything now.
You're good. You're good to go.
Right.
And you'll see on the evening it actually happens, like, he didn't even want to do it.
Right.
So he says, okay, so she says, just do it and then you'll succeed. Like, she says, basically, don't think you're going to fail because you will. So just think you're going to succeed and you will. He says, right, that's what I'm talking about. I read so much about failed attempts gone wrong that it's gotten me discouraged. She says, yeah, exactly. So stop doing that. There's more success than there are failures.
I doubt it.
That's messed up.
I mean, it doesn't really matter, but it's just like...
He says, are you kidding me?
Are you stupid? Of course there's not.
She says, you have to look at it that way. People only fail because they have the same mindset of you, thinking that they're going to fail. And he says, I really want to believe you. Well, why don't you? You can't think about it. You just have to do it. You said you were going to do it. Like, I don't get why you aren't. And he says, I don't get it either. I don't know. And she says...
Because
he doesn't want to.
That's pretty obvious.
And she says, so I guess you aren't going to do it then. All of that for nothing. I'm just confused. Like, you were so ready and determined. And he says, I'm going to eventually. I really don't know what I'm waiting for, but I have everything lined up. Michelle says, well, I guess just because you always say you are going to do it, but you don't. But last night, I know you really wanted to do it, and I'm not mad. Well, I mean, kind of, I guess. Just because you always say you're going to do it, but you just don't. But last night, I knew you really wanted to do it, and I'm not mad. You're not joking about this or bullshitting me, right? I just want to make sure you're being serious. Like, I know you are, but I don't know. You always say you're going to do it, but you never do. I just want to make sure tonight is the real thing. Don't do it in the driveway. You'll be easily found. Find a spot. He says, I don't know. I'm thinking like a public place. If I go somewhere private, they may call the cops. She says, well, then maybe somebody will notice you. Do you think you will get caught? I mean, it only takes 30 minutes, right? Just park your car and sit there. It will take like 20 minutes. It's not a big deal.
She's just so hell-bent on this happening. I think she's just sick of it. You know, the back and forth and the back and forth. And she just wants him to be gone because she wants that power. And she can't wait to be the
grieving girlfriend and get the attention.
The shining princess who comes in and helps everybody.
So this is the day he actually takes his life. She says, hey, Conrad, are you there? He says, hey, sorry, I fell asleep. It's okay. Why haven't you done it yet, though? If I read one more time, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Have you done it? Are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Like, I was ready to scream.
It seems like this, I mean, that happened several times. I mean, dozens and dozens of times.
So she's asking him, why haven't you done it? He says, I'm too messed up to. What are you talking about? In my head. You think about it, you just have to do it. You said you were going to do it. I just don't get why you aren't. He says, I don't either. I don't get it either. IDK. She says, so I guess you aren't going to do it then. All for nothing. I'm just confused. Like, you were so ready and determined. He says, I'm going to eventually. And he says, I really don't know what I'm waiting for, but I have everything lined up. No, you're not, Conrad. Last night was it. You keep pushing it off and you say you'll do it, but you never do. It's always going to be that way if you don't take action.
Like, he has this voice in his head already to kind of say that you shouldn't be here. And then he's got this chick
berating
the same
him.
Thing. Like, it's like double trouble. The one voice isn't strong enough for him to do it, but she's kind of... almost like he's going to be like, I'm sick of listening to her say that I'm not doing it.
Over and over and over. You're just making it harder on yourself by pushing it off. You just have to do it. Do you want to do it now? And he says, is it too late? And he says, I don't know. It's already light outside. I'm going to go back to sleep. I love you. I'll text you tomorrow. No, it's probably the best time now because everyone's sleeping. Just go somewhere in your truck. And no one's really out right now because it's an awkward time. it's an awkward time. No, you're an awkward person.
You're an awkward human being. Yeah.
And she says, if you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. And you can't say you'll do it tomorrow, but and you can say you'll do it tomorrow, but you probably won't. And
she's like feasting out. She's like, it's so close. It's so close. Just do it.
And then she says, love you. And he says, thank you. And she says, for what? Are you awake? He says, yes. Are you going to do it today? He says, yes. Like in the daytime? He says, should I? And she says, yeah, it's less suspicious. You won't think about it as much and you'll get it over with instead of waiting until the night. You'll get it over with. This is death. Like, this is done.
Right.
There's no more after this.
She's kind of viewing it as a game.
It is.
And like, she doesn't realize. Maybe she does realize.
I don't know. Like, I truly don't know.
Yeah.
And then he says, yeah, then I will. Like, where? Like, you could go, like, I could go into an enclosed area is what he says. She says, go in your truck and drive into a parking lot somewhere. Go park or something. Do it now, like early. And then he said, didn't we say this was suspicious? And she says, no, I think night is more suspicious. As a kid sitting in his car, just turn on the radio and do it. It won't be suspicious and it won't take long. And he says, okay, I'm taking Holly for a walk. Obviously, this is his dog. She says, okay. I mean, that's like, he's taking his dog for a walk. Like, you know?
Just trying to get out of his head, you know, and trying, and leaving his phone there because he could take his phone. But he's like, I'm going to go take my dog for a walk and try to figure out what I need to do here.
And she says, okay. And then he says, I don't know why I'm like this. And she says, sometimes things happen and we never have the answers why. And he said, like, why I'm so hesitant lately? Because you don't want to do it.
Listen to that voice. That's the voice that everybody in your life wants you to listen to.
And he says, like, 2 weeks ago, I was willing to try everything. And now I'm worse really bad and I'm not falling through this. It's eating me inside. And she says, you're so hesitant because you keep overthinking it and pushing it off. You just need to do it, Conrad. The more you push it off, the more it will eat at you. You're ready and prepared. All you have to do is turn on the generator and you will be free and happy. And no more pushing it off. No more waiting. He says, you're right. She says, if you want it as bad as you say you do, it's time to do it today. And he says, yep, no more waiting. She says, okay, I'm serious. Like, you can't even wait until tonight. You have to do it when you get back from your walk. He says, thank you. She says, for what? Still being here. I would never leave you. You're the love of my life, my boyfriend. You're my heart. I'd never leave you. And he says, aw. And she says, a smiley face, I love you. He says, I love you too, with like a big smiley face. It's like, we're talking about you dying here. I'm so confused.
Viewing it as like a Romeo and Juliet thing, and she's just viewing it as like a power trip. Like, I can't wait till he's gone so I can do all these things. They're like viewing it from different positives from their perspectives. It's really sad.
It is really sad. And she says, okay, so when are you back from your walk? He says, like 5 minutes. Okay, are you going to do it? Again, with just the gonna do it.
Like, I'm sick of this chick.
And then he responds back, I guess. Well, I want you to be ready and sure. And he sends like a sticking the tongue out emoji. That's what's that mean? Haha. I don't know. I'm freaking out again. I'm overthinking. Yes, because this is your life. Because you should be overthinking.
They don't want you doing this. Nobody wants you doing this. It's like God sending you a thing. Like, don't do this.
It makes me so sad how it ends, though. You know, we know he did it.
Right.
So she says, I thought you wanted to do this. The time is right and you're ready. You just need to do it. You can't keep living this way. You just need to do it like you did last time and not think about it. Just do it, babe. You can't keep doing this every day.
The babe just like bugs the shit out of me.
Babe?
Yeah.
You're talking about your babe killing himself, babe, and being gone from this world forever.
I love you. I want you to die.
I would be on your doorstep clawing at your legs saying, please don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it makes me sick. He says, I do. I want to, but like, I'm freaking out for my family, I guess. I don't know.
Probably while he's at the beach.
He's not yet at the beach. Okay. Michelle says, Conrad, I told you I'll take care of them. Yeah, you'll take care of his family. Okay.
Oh, good.
Everyone will take care of them to make sure they won't be alone and that people will help them get through. We talked about this. They will be okay and accept it. People who commit suicide don't think this much and they just do it. He says, I know, LOL. Thinking just drives me more crazy. She says, exactly. You just need to do it, Conrad, or I'm going to get you help. How about you get him help?
Yeah, that's the better one. Jeez.
She says, you can't keep doing this every day. He says, okay, I'm going to do it today. She says, do you promise? He says, I promise, babe. I have to now. Like right now? Where do I go? You can take a break. she says, and you can't take a break, I promise. I don't know what that means. Just go in a quiet parking lot or something. He says, okay. She says, go somewhere you know you won't get caught. You can find a place. I know you can. Are you doing it now? He says, I still have no clue. And she says, not finding a place to go isn't an excuse. And he says, I know where to go. She asks where. He says, a park and ride. She says, ride? He said, that's what it's called. It's like a parking lot. Oh, okay, gotcha. Are you going now? Either that or go to the beach. She says, why would you go to the beach? He says, well, that's where my mom's going. And she says, I thought you were just going to do it. He says, my mom is making me go. When I get home, I'm going to do it. She says, okay, promise? I'm going kayaking anyways. He says, haha, you love kayaking. Like, we're having this side conversation. It's like, no, don't have a side conversation. Just go get
train,
help.
We see the train getting to the edge here. And it's like, just stop, like somehow hit the brakes.
And she says, yep, so something I wish we could have done. It's like, yeah,
you can.
You can go kayaking. You live 40 minutes away from each other. You drive 20, he drives 20. Go kayaking.
Right.
And he says, haha, of course. Or she said, oh, they used to talk about her having a son and him being named Conrad. So he says, make sure you take your son kayaking. And he says, haha, of course. She says, haha, of course I will. And he says, good, what's up? So you can tell some time has elapsed at this point. And she says, kayaking, haha. Still? Yep, but I'm done now. And he says, I love you so much. And she says, I love you forever. He says, I'm in the worst pain right now, like it's unbearable. And she says, I think it's time to do it now then. And she says, do you agree? Conrad, please answer me. And he says, I'm still at the beach. Oh, okay, sorry. Let me know when you're leaving. He says, okay. So at 3:40, he texts her and says, I'm determined. And she says, I'm happy to hear that. He says, I'm ready. She says, good, because it's time, babe. You know that. When you get back from the beach, you got to do it. You're ready. You're determined. It's the best time. He says, okay, I will. She says, are you back? And he says, no more thinking. And she says, yes, no more thinking. You need to just do it. No more waiting. He says, I'm on my way back and I know where to go now. She says, where? He says, a parking lot. There's going to be no cars there at 9. So that's when I'll be found. She says, okay, perfect. And then she says, when will you be home? 10 minutes. Ha ha. And he says, ha ha, that's perfect? Question mark. So like he sees
this is fucked up. Like you shouldn't be encouraging me to do this.
He sees that this is messed up.
Yeah. But, like, she's getting off on it. Like, what are you crazy? But at the same time, I think he's like made up his mind. Yeah. Once he said determined, I think that it was like him like, yep, it's happening.
And she says, okay, well, yeah, IDK, kind of, because he was questioning why she would say it's perfect. And he says, like, I don't want to kill anyone else with me. And she said, you won't, question mark. He says, but when they open the door, they won't know it's there. It's odorless and colorless.
So now he's trying to, like, get out of it.
Talk again, himself out of
good.
It.
Like, get yes. out. Yeah, you're not supposed to do this.
And again, you're overturning. They will see the generator. They will realize you breathed in this. She called it CO, the carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
And he said, so should I keep it in the back seat or in the front? She says, in the front. You could write on a piece of paper and tape it on there saying carbon monoxide or something if you're scared.
She's trying to, everything in his head, she's trying to take it away.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, don't worry.
Nope.
Just put a big sign.
We got that covered. Nope. Yeah. And he says, I was thinking that, but somebody might see it before it actually happens. And she says, well, wait, the generator is going to be on because you'll be passed out. So she corrects herself by saying you'll be passed out and says in the little asterisk, dead. So it's like, oh, my gosh. She says, they'll know you use carbon poisoning. And he says, it's not loud, is it? She says, not really, LMAO. Like, nobody's laughing their ass off here.
Oh.
He says, okay, good. She says, of course. Again, are you going to do it now? I'm home. Okay. And then he says, ah, like A-H-H-H.
Yeah.
And she says, what? And he says, I don't know. I'm stressing. And she says, you're fine. It's going to be okay. You just have to do it, babe. You can't think about it.
This is your brain telling you no. Like, listen to the brain that's trying to be, you know, trying to tell you the right thing.
I know. And he says, okay, I've got this. And she said, yes, you do. I believe in you. Did you delete the messages?
That's the one.
Yep. Yes, but you're going to keep messaging me? And she says, I will until you turn on the generator. Ugh, it just like makes me so sick and sad. Like, no, she's going to stop messaging him because she knows he's going to die.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, well, I'm bringing my sisters for ice cream. Like, in this time, he's taking his little sisters for ice cream.
In his head, kind of saying goodbye, I guess.
Oh, it's so sad.
And that's an interesting thing. Before he left his mom, he didn't really say anything. Just, you know, I'm just going to a friend's house. Okay, bye.
I don't know if it was just like the ripping off a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
I don't know. And she says, so will you do it when you get back? And he says, yep, I'll go right there. And she says, okay. And he says, I love you. And she says, I love you so much. And then they do a smiley face and a heart emoji to each other.
And so the whole time taking them for ice cream, he's probably thinking about it.
Of course. I'm sure that's all he's thinking about.
Yeah.
And he texts back saying, ha ha, what are you doing? And she says, nothing really, just resting. And he says, okay, I'm procrastinating. And she says, yeah, ha ha, I know, are you back? And he says, yep. And she says, so it's time. And he says, oh, it's been time. Of course, again, are you going to do it now? I just don't know how to leave them, you know? And of course, the idiot says, say you're going out or something to the store. And she says, like, I want them to know that I love them. So when he says leave them, he doesn't mean physically leave the house.
No, not the actual act of going right now.
He means leave this world.
The life, yeah.
In this life. And like, again, he says, like, I want them to know I love them. And she says, they know. It's one thing they definitely know. And you're overthinking. I know I'm overthinking. I've been overthinking for a while now. I know. You just have to do it like you said. Are you going to do it now? I haven't left yet. Ha ha. Why? She says. At 6:20 p.m., he texts, leaving now.
If you love somebody, they don't want you to leave the life. You know, like, if you truly love somebody, you're worried about them knowing that you love them, then don't leave them, because that's so much worse. I mean, this is all logic, you know, and the logical brain isn't really working.
It's not there right now.
Yeah.
But all I could think in my head is, Conrad, you're 18. Your family loves you. You have a scholarship to college. You have your captain's license. Like, you can have a wonderful life. Live it on the water, whatever makes you happy.
If life
don't
sucks right
have
now
to do this,
like, your life is totally different when you're in your 30s. It's going to be completely different, and I you know, trust us, we're here in the other side, and it's life is not like when you're a teenager anymore.
No, and being a teenager friggin sucks. I hated it. Yeah. I always knew I was meant to be, like you say, 40.
You were born at 40 practically.
So
I did enjoy a lot of teenage time, like going out and having fun,
of
for
course.
Sure, but
do you know
it's challenging too,
not being a parent and having your parents taking care of you and just having no worries. You know, not that it's no worries, it's smaller worries, different worries.
Well, not,
but you're out with your friends, you come home, dinner's prepared for you. You didn't cook it, you know, somebody else did. Like, that's great. But
hey, mom or dad, can I have 10 bucks to get some food? Yeah, sure, here you go. It's like just done.
What's
done.
So unfortunate though is that I watched his YouTube video from the month before, and you could tell he was like a logical person and that he had his head on straight. Like, you could tell he recognized that he was struggling and that he just had to keep moving forward. I believe that this kid could have easily gotten help and been okay. I really do believe it. It's like this is just like a spur of the moment decision, like where he was just being bombarded
right every single second. Like, are you ready?
If I read, are you gonna do it now? It was like hundreds of times. Yeah. You're gonna do it now? It's almost like he did it to shut her up.
Yes, and get her out of his brain.
Yes,
like, I can't get away from this girl ever again, so I'm just gonna kill myself.
So he says, you know, again at 6:20, leaving now. She says, okay, you can do this. He says, okay, I'm almost there. She says, okay. So at 9:19 p.m., we already know they've made their 40-minute conversations times two, because it was at 6:28 and then it was at 7 something. This is 9:19 p.m. after she had texted her school friends saying, I heard moaning, I heard a motor, I think he's dead. She's texting him, please answer me. I'm scared. Are you okay? I love you. Please answer. 10:38 p.m. You're at your dad's. Camden told me. I'll get you help soon, I guess. Like, I don't know what the point of that was. And then she says, I thought you actually did it. So after Conrad's death, Michelle continued to text his phone, sending him more than 80 messages, knowing he was dead.
Well, pretty sure, I guess, or maybe.
Oh, she knew.
Okay.
The morning after Conrad killed himself, she wrote, did you do something? ! Because in her mind, he's deleted all their previous texts.
Right.
So this is setting her up to now be the concerned girlfriend. Conrad, I love you so, so much. Please tell me this is a joke. 2 days later, she said, I love you so much. Sweet dreams, babe. I know you're up there smiling down on me. I will always smile back. I love you forever. On July 21st, she texts, I read this thing online about trying to agree with the person and that you would make them change their mind because they see how stupid they're being.
Covering her tracks.
But it didn't work for you and I did it for too long. You probably thought I was okay with it and you talked about being in heaven and being my angel and by the time I went along with it because I knew you weren't going to do anything, but then you effing did it and I'm so sorry I didn't save you. So this next text is kind of what got the verdict to where it was. Mm. She texts Sam Boardman, her friend, on the 15th of September of that year, 2014, and says, Sam, his death is my fault. Like, honestly, I could have stopped him. I was on the phone with him, and he got out of the car because it was working, and he got scared. And I fucking told him to get back in, Sam. So this is when they're having this conversation. He is in the car. He feels it taking effect. He panics. He gets out of the car. Mm-hmm. She tells him, get back in the car. Ugh. I should have tried harder. Like, I should have done more. It's all my fault because I could have stopped him and I effing didn't. All I had to do was say, I love you. Don't do this. One more time and he'd still be here.
No shit.
Yeah.
Could have said that at any point in any of those times.
When he got out of the car.
Yeah.
You could have said, I'm coming. I'm sending help. Stay out of the car. He wanted to get out of the car. Obviously, right. He did.
Yeah.
Get back in the fucking car, she tells him.
Jeez.
So she says, I can't get that phone call out of my head. Like, I still call him and hope he'll pick up. No, sweetheart, he's gone.
No, because you're dumbass that said get back in the car. Like, that, I mean, Jesus H, man.
So she was a bizarre girl. She was obsessed with the show Glee, specifically the main actress. I guess her name is Lea Michele. Don't know who she is. Never saw Glee. But her co-star in Glee ended up committing suicide. They dated in real life. Mm. And on July 13th, 1 year before, he was found dead in a hotel room from an overdose. Mm. So this character that she idolized, this Lea Michele girl, actually dated the actor that committed suicide. His name was Corey Monteith. And they found when they were looking through her texts that she would quote this show verbatim, frequently. So it's like she was living in a show.
Without trying to quote the show?
Like, no, verbatim from what her favorite actress, Lea Michele, would say.
Yeah.
So here's a couple of examples. The character Rachel, played by Lea Michele, says, I had it all planned out. Other character Will says, did you tell him? Rachel says, I didn't have to. He knew. Michelle texts a friend after Conrad died. I had it all planned out. He knew too. I didn't have to tell him.
Yeah, she was like living this fantasy.
And then character Rachel uses the phrase, he was my person. Michelle says, same thing to a friend. He was my person. Mm-hmm. They also said shortly before Conrad killed himself that she had gone to see the movie The Fault in the Stars, I believe it was. And it's about a story where a guy commits suicide or tries to commit suicide, but the girlfriend calls and gets help.
Right.
So
that should have been the ending of this.
Yep. So Judge Moniz deliberated for 2 days, and on June 16th, 2017, he reached a verdict. Michelle Carter was found guilty of manslaughter. Judge Moniz focused on Michelle's command to Conrad to get back in the truck. He felt that her virtual presence overwhelmed Conrad's willpower, and but for the defendant's admonishments, pressure, and instructions, the victim would not have gotten back into the truck and poisoned himself to death. Sure. Michelle, knowing that Conrad was dying, did not call the police or have his family intervene. She knew he was committing suicide, but in the meantime, was texting his sister saying, do you know where Conrad is? And then telling her friends that I'm going to go help find him. You know where he is.
Yeah. Like, clearly this is all part of your master plan. This wasn't a surprise. You planned this out. You could have done a lot of things to save him. And I like the virtual presence thing. That's it's a good idea. I mean, that's exactly what it was. The kid didn't want to die.
Yep, exactly. Lori Levinson, a professor at Loyola Marymount University Law School, argues that legally, we don't have a broad responsibility to save people in the United States. There's no good Samaritan law.
No.
How about being a human being?
Right. It's not just because it's a law.
We don't need a law to be a decent human being.
Well, that's when people say, like, if you don't have Jesus and the commandments, then how do you know what's right and wrong? It's like, you just know.
You have a soul.
It's not right to lie, and it's not right to kill people, and it's not right to cheat on your wife.
Right to tell your friend to commit suicide.
Correct. That's just a thing. I think we can all agree on that. So as humanity, you know, is concerned.
I would agree. So the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts protested, saying that this decision violated the free speech protections and could have a poor effect on end-of-life discussions.
I get that. But, you know, you want to protect other things that it could spiral from. Because then there's really scumbag politicians and lawyers that will take this little piece and then spiral it into something else. And I get that. I get that 100%. But doesn't change Michelle's a piece of shit and needs to rot.
And I would believe that most people would agree with that.
Yeah.
So on August 3rd, 2017, sentencing of Michelle Carter was held for her conviction of involuntary manslaughter. She ended up serving 12 months of a 15-month sentence for good behavior.
Yeah.
They said that she was released early from Bristol County Women's Center on January 23rd, 2020 for good behavior and will serve 5 years probation. In 2019, Conrad's Law was introduced to Massachusetts legislature. It makes coerced suicide by someone who knows a person's suicidal tendencies and encourages them to take their life a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison.
Talk about a law that the forefathers would never think needs to be made.
No. Well, certainly texting didn't you know, exist back when the forefathers wrote this, but
yeah, that's not what I mean. But like the fact that you have to put into law, if you hear somebody's killing themselves, you talking them into it is illegal. Like,
or not getting them help.
That we have to make a law. Like, it's just humanity. You should get a person's help that is reaching out to you. Clearly. Yep. Oh my God.
So when all this trial was happening in 2017, the Centers of for Disease Control and Prevention reported that nearly 5,000 people between ages 14 and 24 would be lost to suicide, and 600,000 would end up in the ER because of a suicide attempt. Adolescents are more prone to depression and anxiety and more susceptible to peer pressure.
Because your brain is going through so much, it doesn't know the right up and down, it doesn't know the right and wrong sometimes, and it's hard to get through it.
So if you or someone you know is experiencing suicidal thoughts or ideations, please, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. For the U.S., it's 1-800-273-8255.
And if you're listening to this right now, there's a reason that you're listening to this. Some higher being wants you to call this number if you're feeling suicidal. You're listening to this for a reason, and you should call this number again. Go ahead and give it again.
It's 1-800-273-8255. Please, please get help.
I think you can text it, too. I'm pretty sure you can text it.
You can. Yes, you can.
Text it. Just send a text. It's okay. Just do it. Just send it.
And, you know, you might feel like you are completely alone in this world, but I promise you there are people that need you, they love you, and that there is hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. I promise you might not see it now, but it's there. Absolutely. And you'll find your way through, and there are people to help you find your way through.
Please, for us, for everybody, for anybody, for just help the world out and send a text.
And this is, you know, in Conrad's honor, because he couldn't be saved.
Right.
So...
yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that to attention. It's just like the one thing I really enjoy about our podcast is bringing things to light and hoping that somehow, some way, somebody has helped somewhere. Like just this week or last week, there was a gun found in our son's like middle school. Like the kids saw something or heard somebody talking about the gun in the backpack.
Two students heard talk of the student alluding to the fact that he had a gun.
So they said something that their thing at their school, see something, say something. And they did. So it like that reminded me, if you hear a friend or somebody's friend of a friend talking about something, just make it known to somebody, please. Like anybody. I can't imagine losing anybody that I love to suicide when it could be prevented, and there's so much more. I mean, you can't even say anything because this person thinks it's the only way, and they think the life is better off without them, but I promise
you that's not incorrect. And you know, Conrad couldn't be saved, sadly, but maybe other people could, because that you're there to help support them. But you know, life is just too short, and that whole thing, like you were saying with our son, I mean, that was just hearing about that made us both cry. And like, I was at work when I read the message that this kid was found with a gun in his backpack of what could have happened.
The automated message came through the voicemail, and I just like, and yeah, cried.
We could have lost our son that day, but thank God two students said something. Yeah. And immediately the resource officer came in and safely found the gun and got this kid. This kid was arrested. He was a middle school child arrested.
Yeah, don't take guns to school,
don't
idiots.
Take guns to school. It's serious.
Yeah.
So, you know,
help each other out. I mean, yeah, call that number. Yeah. We'll put it on if you want to click on it on the show notes too. Just do it. You can still have your thoughts. Just send a text. Just send it. Put it out there. Just to put it out the world. You're listening to this for a reason.
Yes, 100%. Absolutely. Anyway, thank you all for being here.
Yep.
And until next week, we will be back.
We will. And I'll be talking about the next one. I don't know what it is. I think I have like 3 days to do it. So.
You do, because we have to do it early.
Yeah. So
all right, everybody. All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Bye.